Well, greetings to each one of you this afternoon. And I have a card on my desk from Edie. And you remember what it says, honey? It says, "We're so good together." That's the title. We're so good together. You know, and I thought of that for this afternoon. I mean, it's nice to be together. I'm just telling you, it's good to be together with each one of you and around God's word, and you know, this special time. And so we're good together. Let's read in His word. Let's read that in the book of Joshua. And let's read out of chapter 8. This is a great story. Let's start at verse 18 and read about the victory over Ai. Maybe just, we'll just... they had been defeated and you probably remember the story. They had been defeated at Ai. You know, they thought that they could, as they were coming into the land, Joshua was fairly confident that they could take Ai, and they got beat. They were beaten. And so this is the second round of them going against Ai. Let's start at verse 18. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, and I will give it into thy hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush rose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it in haste and set the city on fire." So they they had... attacked the city, ran, and the men went in behind. "And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw and beheld the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no more power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon their pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai, and the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side, and they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai was taken alive and brought to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of the slaying of all the inhabitants of Ai in the field in the wilderness wherein they chased them, and they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they had were consumed, and all the Israelites returned to Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword, so it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not back his hand back wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according to the word of the Lord which commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai and made a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai hanged on the tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded they take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remained unto this day. And Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, as it was is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lifted up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark, and on that side before the priests of the Levites, which bear the ark of covenant of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as he that was born among them, and half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and curses, according to all that was written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. That had to take a little while, I would think, reading all that Moses had commanded. So let's sing a hymn together, and then we'll pray. Let's sing hymn number 225, Christ the Crucified and Glorified. Pray together. Lord, it is good to be together, even as we mentioned as we started this afternoon service. And Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we hold it in reverence. We read it with the question of how does this apply to me? How can this word speak to me, and how is this applicable to me? So, Father, thanks for the recording, even the story of Ai. And Father, thanks for the avenue of singing Christ the Crucified, and we know that Christ is central in our fellowship, and yet we know also, too, that even the Old Testament is so important, and so we thank thee for this combination, and even an avenue to bring our requests and our praise and our thanksgiving and our confession to thee. And so, Father, we do praise thee for new life. And Father, we just think recently the announcement of Molly and how that she started repenting. And Father, we thank thee for that. Just it's a wonderful thing to see these young people giving their lives to thee. And Lord, bless those that have and are repenting. And and Lord, we are thankful that thy kingdom is coming and that thy is growing. And we are so grateful for that. And so we thank thee that because thou art the Lord of harvest, and we are grateful for thy calling. We're thankful for thy spirit today. We're thankful for the word this morning and Luke and the lessons of Luke. And Father, I may take more than 20 seconds to pray, but thanks for even the Lord's Prayer, Jesus. So we count it a privilege to lift our voices together in prayer. And Father, we think of Brother Wayne and his situation. Father, we just lift him, and we think of Aaron and Kara and Neil and Leanne and their children. We just pray for them. And Father, give them strength, give them an eternal perspective, give them faith, and give them peace. Lord, and we just pray that thy will be done, even as Jesus prayed. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we just commit this situation to thee, and again pray that, Lord, that your will be done. So bless our time together here. Bless those in Sunday school, and may thy word be active today. And Lord, then we want to also pray for this Wednesday night. Lord, just provide opportunities that as would be thy will, and then in a couple of weeks also bless the efforts, the different projects, the those going to the prison. Lord, may it honor thee, and may thy kingdom grow as a result of that. And may people hear the word, and even as Jesus taught and served, Lord, that's what we want to do. And even as Harvest Call, there theme is to proclaim and serve. Father, that's our desire, to proclaim and to serve. And thanks for the avenues we have even this week and then in a couple weeks. This week with Wednesday Night Outreach and in a couple weeks. So, Lord, we know that each Wednesday doesn't afford an opportunity, but Lord, just help us to be looking for that and available, Lord. And even as Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. So if there's opportunity, we want to go. And so, Lord, give us eyes to see and a heart to respond to that. So bless our time, and we commit it to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's read out of the book of 2 Corinthians. And let's read chapter 13, the closing of that. the closing of that book. I think before we close that book, let's go back to the start of the book. But we'll read out of chapter 13, 2 Corinthians, in just a moment. But if you go back to the beginning of the book, and as we think just a little bit about this, I really appreciate the book of 2 Corinthians for a number of reasons. But a couple reasons that 2 Corinthians is good is, one is Paul just shares his heart. I mean, Paul shares his struggles in life. And I like that. I like the fact that he does. I remember one person asked this great Christian missionary to give him some advice. Just give me a word of advice as far as living life and the Christian life goes. And he was had his notepad. He was ready to write this down and thinking it'd be so significant. And this Christian missionary said, "Just let the crack show in your life." And then he was really kind of taken back. Let the crack show in your life. And the struggles in life. Let the struggles in life show. And I think that's good advice. Because sometimes we like to cover up we like to put the glaze over the cracks. You know, we like to fill those cracks in on the pot. We don't like people to know. You know, we want people to think we've got it all together. Well, Paul was very forward in saying he struggled. And he did. But he really loved the Corinthian people. So let's just read a few of the verses here, and then we'll go to 13. Let's start at 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and Paul really had a sense of enjoying, we're so good together in a sense. I mean, it was good for the Corinthians to have Paul in their life, and it was good for Paul to have the Corinthians in their life. I mean, they were good together. And look at verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. So God is a God of comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them by which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And that is so true. An example comes to my mind of Tirza. You know, Stan and Andrea, and they're coming home soon from India. They'll be with us October 30, I think it's 30th, Wednesday night, and they're going to share a little bit about what's going on in India. So that's the 5th Wednesday in October, so it'd be great if you could come and hear their story. But you know, going through that with Tirza, there's another couple in Illinois struggling with the same thing, and they have groups to get together with children with that same handicap. You know, and they just cry on each other's shoulder and share struggles. And I think that's what Paul's saying here. You know, by the comfort that God comforted me, you know, we'll comfort each other. And it's such a great great way to start this book. Certainly knowing that he loved the Corinthians and he's writing again, and he's saying, you know, grace and peace be to you. And we're thankful for the suffering, and God comforted us in our suffering. Let's look at verse 6. And whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. And whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant. So that, you know, he says there's going to be a mutual suffering. And listen, he says, I want to share our trouble. Look at verse 8. We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch as we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but God, which raises the dead. So, you know, and this is, I think there's three other occasions in the book where Paul talks about that. You know, he just was pressed and troubled, just out of above strength, didn't know what to do. Nick and Amber, some of you were here when Nick and Amber, Stefan came to share about their missionary opportunities. And that Mark, Nick's father, had passed away. He was in Japan, had a stroke, and it was just a troubling time. They just married, a new job, things were unsettled. And he said his life was about on a scale. There, I guess there's a certain test you can take. He said he was about a 300. And he said there was a lot of pressure in his life, and 300, it just is a life of turmoil. And he said, since that's all taken care of itself in the sense, and his dad went to be with the Lord, and things kind of settled down. He says, but it's about a 150 now. That's the scale they live on right now, about 150. You know, we kind of like, you know, I'd say we like anything below 100. You know, not very stressful. We don't like stress in our lives. We like things kind of, you know, to settle down, maybe 100. But, you know, missionaries, and Nick shared this, missionaries, first time people on the field, it'll go up to an 800. Their stress level will be 800. And I think Paul's probably about 1,000 right now. Or at least an 800. And if you go on for a couple years at that, it can really cause really damage emotionally, spiritually. And when he shared that, I thought, you know, I don't want to be a missionary. No, we're gonna do it. We're gonna see if we can do a mission call when we're done with the service. We're gonna see if some of you want to sign up to go to the mission field. Just raise your stress to 800. You know? I mean, if God calls you that, he'll provide grace, won't he? I think Paul's living at 800. I mean, there is stress in his life. He's pressed down without measure. He's in despair, but God comforts him. But you know, it's not only God that comforts him. Let's go to chapter 7, and then we'll go to 13. I love this background. And I love Paul. I mean, his heart. Okay, verse 5. 7:5, chapter 7, verse 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, but inside I didn't have any. No. I mean, look at that. It's just so real. Inside were fears. Come on, Paul. I mean, he's living at 800, 900, and if he'd keep going like this, he's gonna crack. I mean, but he's already got cracks, right? And he's letting the cracks in the pot show. Beautiful flower pot, but boy, it's cracking. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down. I'm glad there's not a period. Keep reading. Aren't you glad there's not a period there? Comma. Nevertheless, God who comforteth those that are cast down. And God does. And you know, we pray for that for Wayne. We pray for that for those that have lost loved ones. We pray for that for people that are in stressful times of life. But look, and that we're cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. So here comes Titus. I mean, Titus was a comfort. He just came in. God is a comfort, but here comes Titus. Titus, thanks for coming. And it makes me want to be a Titus. And comfort means, in the Greek, it means to come alongside of. to come up beside someone, and I think of putting your arm around somebody, you know, coming up beside somebody and say, how's it going? You know, I want to walk with you through this. And I know I've shared this before, but when my brother had his cancer, my oldest brother, my youngest brother, Jim, we were praying together one time, and he says, you know, we want to be together in the fellowship of the suffering. We want a fellowship in that suffering. And I just think I love that picture of, you know, because we all suffer. But somebody like Titus will come up and put their arm around us and say, hey, Paul, I want to comfort you. And Titus was a comfort. Not only did God comfort Paul, but Titus comforted Paul. And how did Titus do that? Part of it was the response from the Corinthians. Okay, let's read 7. Let's read a few more verses here. And then we'll go to the end and wrap it up. Because that's the last chapter is the end of the book. Not by his coming only. So it wasn't just by Titus's coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, that's what Paul had written about. He told them to repent in the first book. Your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry with the letter, remember the 1 Corinthians, he addressed different issues, and he was correcting them. He corrected those different issues, and he said, although I made you sorry in that letter, I didn't repent. It was the right thing to do. And though I did repent, I mean, I didn't want to do it, but I needed to do it. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. But now I rejoice. Not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed unto repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So I think that's enough. I think you get the picture. You know, the picture, Paul wrote that letter to the Corinthians. And it, you know, he wasn't sure of the response. He wasn't sure if they were going to hate him. He wasn't sure what was going to happen. But they repented. And Titus came back with that report, and it just made Paul rejoice. He went from an 800, he dropped down to about a 50. I mean, he was just rejoicing in this scale. I don't even know what the scale is. Scott, that handout right to you, on that corner of back where you're at, has got that information on it. Should ask him to bring it up to me. I'm not going to, Scott. It's fine. You're good back there, man. But that's got that information on it, on that scale, how that scale can rise. And I think of some missionaries that have come home from the field and have had a hard time. I think part of it is due to that. Just that stress and the stress and the stress and the continued stress at that level. Part of what Nick and Amber want to do is they want to walk. They want to be a Titus. So I guess that's why I'm saying that. They want to be a Titus and come and walk beside some of these missionaries. For 2-week intervals, they'll come and they'll walk beside them for 2 weeks, and then, you know, hopefully refresh and revive, and then get them back to what God's called them to do. So, okay, let's go to chapter 13. When I came to the end of the book here, I feel like you end a book, you know, at least it helps me to get this, get the picture here. This is the third time, verse 1, chapter 13. This is the third time I am coming to you. One was 1 Corinthians, the second book is not recorded in Scripture, and then this is the third time he's written. In the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being absent, now I write to you, which heretofore I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will spare not. Since ye seek proof of God speaking to me, which to you word is not weak, but mighty in you, And though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove yourselves, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. But we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. So you kind of see Paul bouncing around between encouragement and also exhortation. You know, but his desire, his real desire is for them to grow up and mature and to be perfect and walk in the Lord. Therefore, I write you these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification. See, that? I mean, that was his heart. It's to edification and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be mature. Be grown up. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind and live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And then this is, you know, this is the end of the book. You know, we kind of see the balance in his final warnings, in his final encouragement. You know, I mean, he wanted to challenge them to repent. You know, you people need to repent. But and you have, you know, and then continue walking in that. And Paul says, I don't want to use sharpness. I love you. And he really cared for the church. And they really were better together. I mean, that church left by themselves, you know, they wouldn't flourish. And here Paul, his real desire is that they would walk with him, that they would be given to edification, that they would be given to maturity. Okay, I'm gonna go back to 1 Corinthians and just see. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, and this we'll finish with this. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 1, and I, brethren, and again, he called them brethren. He knew they were brethren. He loved them, but he wanted them to mature. He wanted them to grow up, and he shared his difficulties in life. But this is, he said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, and whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So this was the challenge that Paul had. And then he ended, you know, I want you to grow, I want you to mature, thank you for repenting. You know, but this is some of the problems I've dealt with. And again, I appreciate Paul sharing and being real. I appreciate the church, understanding the church has got issues, as every church would have, and yet Paul addressed those. And verse 5, Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another build upon it. But let every man take heed how they build upon Christ. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than as laid, which is Christ Jesus. Verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. The temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So, we're not going to bring closure in the total picture, but I think you get the drift of the scripture, how that, Paul was comforted in his tribulation by God. God comforted him. And then come Titus and said that this group of people repented. And then he ends the book in 2 Corinthians and says, I really, my heart is for you to be perfect, to be made to grow in your walk with the Lord, and is for edification. And praise the Lord, it happened. God accomplished what he wanted to. He grew those people up. The Corinthians, and Paul left this scripture for us, and I'm grateful, and I'm also grateful just to have a chance to share this together, because it's an encouragement to me too, to realize that we do life together, and life is not always easy. Life can be difficult. Life can be a challenge, and yet God is faithful, and it's good to have brothers and sisters to walk with.
Thinking about Joshua 18 and Corinthians, right? What a contrast. So we learn in Corinthians that God is a God of comfort, but then as I think about Ahai and the story of Ahai and Ai, I didn't see much comfort for the king of Ahai, right? Being hung and cast. I got no loop there. That's still an open circuit. But I love how Ron preached about the Corinthians and how it tied into this morning, how Brother Eric talked about living Christianity practically, right? The practical living there. And then you read the verse, 2 Corinthians 7, 6. So I love how God is a God of comfort, and that gives me great encouragement, but I love the practicality of that to where Titus was the encouragement. God used Titus to bring encouragement. Right, Ron started out the whole afternoon with the card. We're best together. Ken preached about it last Sunday, about being together as he walks through their time of mourning. Let's be Titus's. Let's sing together, and then after we sing, a brother closes in prayer.
Number 105, 105.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to come boldly to your throne in this afternoon hour and thank you for the time of fellowship we got to have, and thank you for the ministers and providing them with words to speak in this time. And I pray just thank you for your word and for Paul and how he was such a strong Christian influence to everyone. And I pray just help us to go throughout our week and be like a Paul or a Timothy and try to actually care about other people and to put our arms around their shoulders and to ask how they're doing and not just to be so absorbed in our lives, and forgive us of where we can be absorbed in our lives. And I thank you for just once again for your son Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins, and I pray just help us to take your word with us throughout this week, and it's in your son's name we do pray. Amen.